Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, go ahead and turn to that slide. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord, we do pray that you would help this to be a blessing. Thank you for those at home that are watching. I pray, God, that this would make sense, as God would minister to their hearts. I thank you for their commitment to be engaged with the message of what's going on at church and the message of your word. I pray, God, that your word would resonate in our hearts, those watching online, Lord, those here in the service as well. Lord, we learn to keep our heart with all diligence. We commit this time to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to keep your heart with all diligence? Well, it means to guard. That's the word keep. It means to protect your heart, okay? You love God with all your heart. Protect that. It means your inner man. Guard your inner man. Guard your affections. Guard your feelings. Guard your thoughts. And the thought is, don't ever stray away from the command to love Jesus with all your heart. Actually, when it says keep your heart, it means put up a hedge around your heart. It means with all determination, all diligence, do it. All resolution. One writer said this, with a very watchful eye, more than anything else you guard your heart. I think this is probably one of the most important truths in the Word of God. Keep your heart. Protect your heart. You say you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then guard it. Now let's talk about the heart. The word heart actually means the very seat of your emotions. Keep your heart. Again, has to do with your thought life. The things you allow into your inner man. It's like, wait a minute. What? Why are you telling me this? What do you mean? Hey, are you trying to poison my thinking? You trying to poison my heart? You know, if I embrace what you're telling me, do you realize it's going to destroy my ability to minister to that person? And it's going to destroy my love for Jesus. So be careful what you feed my heart with. Or it's like, come on, man. Unless you're telling me this news so I can call that person or set up an appointment with that person to communicate your concern, then I don't want to hear it. I want to keep my heart with all diligence. I cannot harbor that kind of thinking and still serve the Lord Jesus with all my heart. It's like I say to a couple, you know, guard your heart. You're not ready to accept the responsibilities of marriage right now. So guard your heart. You know, when we have been to college, we used to go to Northland, different colleges, Bob Jones University, Pensacola. Oftentimes you go to the coffee shop. And here's this couple. They must have known each other for a week. And they're sitting across the table. And they're looking at each other's Google-eyed. You know, they just stare. It's like you come up, you go like this in front of them. Yeah, you want to pull them aside and say, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you realize you have the capacity to love someone else with the same love you have toward each other right now? No way, I'd die for this person. You have that same capacity to love someone else with that same intensity that you have right now. That's why God says keep your heart with all diligence. This is really one of the reasons men and women get divorced. They allow themselves to become emotionally attached to another person. They've never learned to keep their heart with all diligence. I think of what we're going through right now with COVID-19. May I say to some of you, you're devastated right now. There are some of you that are paralyzed with fear. You know, you're here, if you watch the news, They're saying the virus can now travel through your water pipes and your air ducts and your windows and your clothes and your hands and your eyes and your ears, your hair. I'm going to tell a story on you, Siobhan. You're laughing. She's on the phone with a lady doctor who works with her husband, who too is a doctor. No, they're not from Woodside. All of a sudden, this lady doctor that Siobhan's talking with breaks out with a laugh. She just can't quit laughing. Why? Well, her husband, the other doctor, had gone out of the house. I don't know, gone to work or gone to the store. And he's now coming in the front door naked. Naked. I mean, he took all his clothes off before entering the house and ran to the shower. You know, there's people so paralyzed with that fear that they won't even step out their front door. That's where you can keep your heart with all diligence. That means you love God with all your heart. You know, there's someone at work, someone in your neighborhood, someone at school, someone at church that may be critical of you or may actually mock you. And so you become so paralyzed with fear that they're going to make fun of you, you actually become that person's emotional slave. Keep your heart with all diligence. Someone's offended you. You can't go to sleep at night without thinking of that person. You're so angry. Keep your heart with all diligence. Someone's threatened you. Keep your heart with all diligence. What's one of the most important things you can do in your Christian life? Here it is. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. One writer put it this way. Guard it as the most precious of possessions, committed to your trust. Now he goes on. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Issues of life are the outgoings of your life. They have to do with your spiritual vitality. One person put it this way. Indirectly, this verse tells us to fill our empty places of our minds with good things in order that our lives may be shaped by them. You know, the heart that you and I need to guard can be compared to the watchtower of a town, the citadel. And they have walls around a town with a citadel. It has to do with the citadel of your life. If the citadel is going to be taken, the whole town must be surrounded and surrendered. And if the heart be taken, the whole life is to be taken. So guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard the fountain, lest the waters be poisoned. You say, how do I do that? How do I do that? Number one, show restraint and self-control in order to effectively pray. 1 Peter 4:7 says, sober up, it's get self-control, it's like curb the controlling influence of inordinate emotions or desires, and then you become unreasonable. It's like sobering up from the influence of drugs or alcohol in order to become effective in your prayer life. Philippians 4:6-8 actually came to my mind as we're thinking about the citadel, about the fence, about guarding your heart. It says, be careful or anxious or don't worry. Be anxious, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, here it is, shall keep your hearts. And that thought is, garrison your heart. Put a guard around your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? People who don't pray a lot worry a lot. Let me change it around. People who worry a lot don't pray a lot. So you say, how do I guard my affections? Number one, Show restraint and self-control in order to effectively pray. Number two, keep a humble and pliable spirit. Humble and pliable spirit. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You want God's power. You want victory in your life. Then learn to stay humble before God. Number three, love the atmosphere of the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Love the atmosphere of the Word. I like Ephesians 3:19. You can look it up. It's, the idea is be filled with all the fullness of God. And I would say love preaching. Surround yourself with the Scriptures. Love to memorize the Word. Enjoy studying the Word of God on your own. What a tremendous opportunity for you at the stay-at-home rules and orders for you to get in the Word more. Keep your heart with all diligence. Then next, don't take the first step toward the world. That's a philosophy that's against God. Proverbs 4:13 and 15 say, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she's your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by, turn from it and pass away. So don't take that first step toward a philosophy that's contrary to the will and word of God. The world. Number five, flee youthful lusts. Run from sin. You say, I want to keep my heart. I want to love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. Run from wrong relationships. Run from things that would corrupt your thought life. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And number five, appeal and release our issues. Let's appeal and release our issues. You say, what do you mean? Learn to appeal to someone about an issue you have. You may have an issue with your coworker. Appeal to that coworker. You may have an issue with an authority or authority at work or the government or church at home or school. Learn to appeal to that person and then release it. Appeal to God. Appeal to that person in a nice, humble way and then release it before God. I think one of the worst things for a servant of God to do is to let issues or conflicts poison their hearts. You know, a person that's, you ever been around a person that's been poisoned in their heart? They've always got issues. They're ugly. They may be pretty on the outside, but they have an ugly spirit. You're around them, they're always throwing out innuendos or divisive things. And, you know, they wonder why people don't like them. They wonder why they lose ministry and with people and they lose their children. And you know, you hang around that person, quite frankly, you become an emotional drain. I mean, they emotionally drain you. And if you're like that kind of person, you become an emotional drain to everybody around you. You say, what do you mean? They get tired of your complaining. Your little digs and you're fleeing to the room in tears. You're always running out crying. May I say this? Learn to release. Learn to appeal. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail, fall short of the grace of God, fall short of God's power. How? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And I think one of the greatest things we need to learn as Christians is to keep our heart with all diligence. How do you want to ask a question? How does a person get that way? You ever wonder? Here's that person that is always, always crying, always pouting, always upset at someone. Always throwing out their little innuendos and criticism and digs and just miserable. How'd they get that way? I just began to write down some things. I thought maybe the influence of close friends. Maybe they got best friends that do that. You become like your friends. Maybe they inherited it. Mommy was that way. Daddy was that way. always critical, always attaching to offenses, always offended at something, always issues with people. Or number three, maybe the influence of the media. You've been watching a lot of TVs and you're taking on that mentality of always shouting. Movies, and maybe you're all into gaming and your heart and your life is full of immoral thoughts and actions. That's how you've allowed your heart to become poisoned. Or maybe you've been influenced by authority figures in your life. People that you look up to are that way. Maybe you're that way because of abuse, bitterness, something in the past. May I tell you something? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You don't have to always, always, always be dominated by the thoughts of abuse. Number six, maybe you're that way because of sin. Maybe that's your nature. Well, the thought is, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think about your physical heart. Your physical heart supplies blood to every area of the body. Every part of your body, from the head to the toes, is impacted by the heart. Now, what happens if the heart dysfunctions? Well, your hands begin to turn blue, your feet turn blue, your lips turn blue, you die. Whole body stops to function, death. You know, that's similar to the same thing that happens to us spiritually when we allow our hearts to be poisoned. When our heart is not spiritually healthy, it affects every part of our spiritual life. We're going to see it affects our mouth, it affects our lips, it affects our eyes, it affects our eyelids, it affects our feet. You know, one writer put it this way, we live out in our lives what we allow in our hearts. You see, a person's life is determined by the thoughts in his heart and mind. The direction a person takes in life is dictated by what's in his heart. One writer put it this way, everything depends upon the state of the heart. That's what Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's like you become what you put in your heart. So one other writer said, be careful what you bury. What you dig, you bury. Why? Because it'll eventually come up. He goes on, he says, we must be careful what we bury in our heart. To bury something does not mean it's dead. It may simply mean we have buried something alive that will devour and destroy us from within. Jeremiah 4:14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long? The word vain means troublesome or wicked or sorrowful. How long are you going to put up with troublesome, wicked thoughts because they're going to spend the night? They're going to become a resident within you. Matthew 15, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. He says, these are things which defile a man. So I think the number one struggle of a Christian leader, as one writer put it, is a lack of personal internal organization. He says that is a sense of a spiritual center. The lack of personal internal organization. Ordering your private world. Romans 8 verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sir Walter Raleigh was one of Britain's well-known sea captains during the days of Queen Elizabeth the First. He was a very bold, very fearless man. In fact, he was one of the pets, one of the favorites of the Queen. You know, when she died, her successor, James I, hated Sir Walter so much that he condemned him to death. Well, the executioner, who was a fan of his, was very grieved with his task to cut off Sir Walter's head, decapitate him. So at the chopping block, he told Sir Walter how to place his head on the block so as to endure swift decapitation. The prisoner thanked him. And here's what he said. It matters little, friend, whether or not the head is right, so long as the heart is right. Make sense? So if a man wants his life to be right, his heart must be right with God. So you ask me the question. Hey, pastor, what's your problem? Go ahead, ask me. What's your problem? You know what my problem is? I need to love Jesus more. That's my problem. I need to love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now you go through this text, Proverbs chapter 4. Not only are we to guard our heart, we are to guard the issues, the outlets of the heart. And what are the issues of the heart? Well, it gives them to us. First, number one, right speech. There's an issue of the heart, is right speech. And so the thought is, control your mouth. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know what's interesting to me? That the first application Solomon makes is in the area of the mouth. You got a heart that's right, you keep your heart. Then he says, put away from you a froward mouth. I wonder why it's the first thing he says. Well, I think it's because the heart speaks what's in the mouth. And often, conflicts come to a person because he can't control his mouth. James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member, verse 5, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. You know, what's in the heart comes out in the mouth, doesn't it? Also, what comes out in the mouth often causes issues or conflicts which affect your heart. So you better keep your mouth shut. If you have allowed your heart to be poisoned, it's going to be manifest with your tongue. One evidence of a guarded heart is a guarded mouth. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why he says, put away from thee a froward mouth. Put away means decline, shun, remove, withdraw from you a froward mouth, a distorted mouth, a mouth that's perverse, a crooked speech. Actually, the word froward means stubbornly contrary and disobedient mouth. Anything falsely spoken mouth. And then he says, and perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse lips is any kind of speech that's misleading. It can be devious talk. Speech that's directed away from what's right and good. Speech that's stubbornly directed toward wrong, contrary speech, contradictory speech. He says, put it far from thee. Have nothing to do with speech that's stubborn and willful, or speech that's directed toward wrong things. One writer put it this way, blessed is the man, blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving wordy evidence of the fact. George Eliot. So you want to keep your heart with all diligence? It's manifested by right speech, so control your mouth. And then, right focus. Control your eyes. That's what it says in verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. I think one of the most dangerous inlets to the heart is the eyes. You know, a man can destroy the health of his heart if he doesn't control his eyes. You realize what you allow in your eyes will affect your heart? Do you realize what you allow in your heart will affect your ability to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's why Matthew 6:22, Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, thy whole body, or healthy, thy whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Job 31:1, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already, where? In his heart. Let thine eyes look right on, he says. Now, he says, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Eyes speak of the fountain. Eyes are closely associated with the thought life. Eyelids actually means to blink, to flutter. The eyelids protect the eyes, protect the fountain. You remember how Satan got Eve to eat the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden? You know he got her to eat it? He got her to look upon it. Not just glance at it, but to thoughtfully look at it, to meditate upon it. And in Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she what? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She sinned. So Satan succeeded in getting her to focus on the forbidden fruit. The longer she looked at it, the more desirable it became. Then it was almost impossible for her to take her eyes off of it. One writer, Phillips, said this. He says, soon she lost all sense of proportion. She forgot all about her husband, all about God's warning of sure and certain judgment. That tree and its fruit was all she could see. At last, the look became a lust. Her fall began with a look. So the idea is, make sure your eyes are focused only on things which make for a healthy heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Things which cause you to love Jesus more. Make sure you set up standards of protection. That's your eyelids. For your eyes. You ever hear of bouncing eyes? Learn the principle of having bouncing eyes. You're driving down a freeway, you see a picture, you're reading something, there's a picture. You don't stare at it. Your eyes bounce away. It's bouncing eyes. Learn that principle. Learn there are certain places you do not go which would cause you to see things which would cause your heart to be destroyed. There are certain books you won't read. There are certain movies you won't watch. Control your eyes. Right speech, right focus, and then last of all, right purpose. Think about your purpose in life. Look at verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder means weigh carefully. It means to thoroughly think it through. Actually, it's a contractor's term. It means use a level. Ponder the path of your feet. Path is the general direction. It literally refers to a path that's made by a wheel or a foot. It's a well-worn path. A path is speaking of your habit of life, your philosophy of life, your purpose statement. So what is Solomon saying here? Weigh carefully the habits and philosophy of your life that you're developing. If you want to keep your heart with all diligence, you want to love Jesus with all your heart, weigh carefully what philosophy you buy into. Ask yourself the question, does it cause you to love Jesus more? Is it in line with your worldview? Say, what do you mean worldview? Well, our worldview as a Christian is the Bible's our authority. Is it in line with our worldview? Notice it says, ponder the path of thy feet and then let all thy ways be established. Ways is more than a well-worn path. Ways is speaking of the steps you take. So the thought is, carefully consider the direction of your life. Make sure every choice, every step is right. So the path is like the city map. It's like the Google view, the bird's eye view, the philosophy of life. And the ways of life are like the streets, the turns, the stops, the choices. And so let all your ways, all those stops and starts be established. That word established means set, determined, correct, leading straight down the right path. It's like Solomon says, wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. What on earth is he talking about? Well, the word wisdom there is seeing things from God's point of view. That's the main thing. The Bible application of truth. That's your principal thing. It speaks of your main goal in life, to apply the word of God. And then it says, therefore get wisdom. Now it says, and with all you're getting, Proverbs 4:7, get understanding. Okay, you're going to get wisdom, seeing things from God's point of view. Your worldview is to apply the word of God in your life. That's your path. All right, now that you've got that, get understanding. What does that mean? That means the ability to see the future consequences of your present actions. It's the ability to see the future consequences of your present actions. It speaks of the steps of action you take after God has given you wisdom. You say, where do you get that definition of understanding? Job 28:28 says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. One commentator, Thomas, great writer on the book of Proverbs, said this, man was made not only to think, but to be thoughtful. Thoughtfulness should be the habitude of his nature. He should walk the path of life thoughtfully, not by impulse. His steps should have nothing of the caprice, that's impulse, of mere instinct. His steps should have nothing of caprice, that's impulse. He should walk life's path thoughtfully, not by prejudice. He should not be guided by traditional dogmas or unholy preconceptions. Thought must be his pillar in the wilderness. He should go on thoughtfully, not by custom. He should not move mechanically, but as a free intelligence. I wish we could read that about five times. There's so much in it. Well, that's like Paul said, Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't live like a fool. That's what he's saying. A fool is someone who chooses to live his life apart from God's point of view. He said, don't live that way, but live as wise. As a person who lives according to chapter and verse. A person who's learned to see things from God's point of view. Then he tells us to redeem the heart because the days are evil. Now, we get to the end. We say, so what? What's the most important command in the Bible for a child of God? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's the first commandment. Most important of all, here it is. Love the Lord Jesus with all my heart, with all my depth of being, all my inner man, all my thought life, desire, emotions, all my focus, all my strength, all my capabilities and qualities. How am I going to do that? Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Guard your affections. For out of it are the issues of life. How do I do that? Right speech, right focus, and right purpose. What's your purpose? Well, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do what? Do all to the glory of God. Keep that in your heart. Love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Father, thank you for your word. What a privilege to know the Lord Jesus. What a privilege to be able to love you, Lord Jesus, with all our heart, soul, might, mind, and strength. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, dear God, help me, help us to learn to keep our heart with all diligence. Guard our affections. Because out of it are the issues of life.